So Balaram is also the son of Vasudeva. Okay. Ushana kabihi. Dando damayatam asmi. Among means of punishment, among means of suppressing lawlessness, Prabhupada says, I'm punishment.
Are there other means to suppress lawlessness?
Yeah, you can try and bribe them. You can try to, you can do different things. Danda especially means
punishment.
You're letting them have it. Damayatam. If there's, yeah. Or taking it that there's no other means, then he's the essence of punishment. The essence of suppressing lawlessness is punishment. So that essence of dealing with thieves and rogues and dacoits is Krishna.
In the Manasamhita, the theme of this punishment is like glorified like anything.
Yeah, punishment, you know, we... Krishna conscious philosophy is not far left liberal, you know, that just kind of be sympathetic and give education and you know, be very, very sorry when things happen and understand that people are victims of circumstance and, you know, when they're thrown in murder, when they kill someone, don't kill them, put them in prison for life and then let them off after 5 years. That's not Vedic standard. Vedic standard of punishment is really strong. It's out of fashion these days.
Yeah.
But so is personal security.
Yeah.
So is it closer to right wing than far right?
I would say it is in terms of usually the right wing, at least in American politics, stands for, you know, law and order and strong government with strong sanctions against those who break the law.
So,
well, that's a different issue. But in terms of law and order, which is usually a big plank for the Republicans and the right wingers, you know, more law and order, stronger, you know, more money for the more policemen, more. So actually, that's there in Vedic literature. It's for strong law and order. Of course, all the heads of government would be the first ones who'd go under the... If Vedic law and order were in place, the first people who'd have their heads cut off would be the present leaders of the state. Yes?
What does Maharaj mean by means of suppression?
Excuse me?
By means of suppression.
By means of? By means of? Where do you see by means of?
Suppressing.
Among all means of suppressing.
Among means of.
Yeah,
means there's so many, however many means there are, punishment is the essence, or taking it that he's the essential quality of suppressing lawlessness. You know, like among bees, I'm the buzz. I can't hear you. If you're going to be in the back, you have to speak double loud.
The judge?
No, he doesn't say the judge.
No.
He's the punishment. The judge is just the person who decides. But the punishment itself, you know, how do you stop thieves? You cut off your hands. Cut off their hands.
I once, you know, I had a conversation with Prabhupada where he said that if you want to establish the four regulative principles in society, you just kill anyone who breaks them, and in 6 months, everyone will be following them. There is I heard this.
Yeah, strong punishment works, you know, for all the blah blah about it.
Yeah.
When there's, you know, just like, oh, I'll tell you, in Jaipur, Prabhupada said, Jaipur state formerly, there was no theft because there was a strong king, and the law was anyone who steals anything loses his hands. The thing could be lying by the side of the road for months and no one would touch him. There's a story about one of the kings of Saudi Arabia, I forget which one, maybe whether it was Abdul Aziz, the original one, or one of his sons, some traveler was traveling to the capital. Along the way, he saw some bags lying on the road, and he didn't know what they were, so he kind of like explored them with his foot and found out that they were coffee beans. So he came to the capital, reported that there are these beans of there are these bags of coffee beans lying by the side of the road. They asked him, king asked him, how did you know that it was coffee? He said, well, I, you know, with my foot. King ordered his toe cut off.
What did he cut off?
Toe. You know, what business did you have with somebody else's stuff? So the news spread immediately all over the kingdom. People were very careful about where they put their toes.
I lived in Dubai 10 years ago. So even till recently, that along the creek, we see hundreds of television to be exported, electronic items. They lie along, nobody dare touches them.
Yeah.
And every Friday, they're very strict with Muslims. If any Muslim is found drinking or something, then I've seen with my own eyes that there is a place near Sharia court there. The guy comes in, he lies down on his back, and they cane him 100 times. If anybody sees that once, I think he's not going to go to Kaaba.
Singapore also, they're very strong. There was some incident a couple of years back. Some young boy went on a spree of spray painting, you know, train cars or something, you know, the way they do in many cities. And the government got a hold of him and ordered that he should get, I forget what it was, like 12 strokes with a cane. This is not like, you know, a fly swatter kind of a thing. This is like, you know, a big piece of wood across your back. I think it was like 12 strokes or something. And there was a big international outcry, and I think his mother was British or something, so, you know, the British Prime Minister appealed for mercy for him. The American President of the United States appealed for mercy for him. You know, all these, it was the whole thing, it was in all the newspapers. So finally, the head of the President of Singapore declared that such appeals for mercy from such important international dignitaries should not go in vain, and they reduced it to 8.
Hey. Great.
Yes.
I spoke with one of your God brothers who used to preach in China for years. Said the punishment for the drug smugglers in China is death penalty.
Oh, several places. Yeah. Singapore, it's death. China, it's death.
They keep them for some time, and when they have several of them, then it's public execution on a stadium full of people, and they have it live on TV.
Yeah.
And, you know, drug abuse in China, it almost doesn't exist.
Yeah. Of course, a lot of other things they do, which are, you know, their law enforcement is another story altogether. But strong law, judiciously applied, according to religious principles, not according to whimsy and whatever you think, whatever you like. But when you actually find someone who's simply a dacoit, a rogue, a thief, let him have it. That's the... Then you'll have... Yes?
I'm actually, this work is good.
Hmm?
Punished,
yeah, it's good for him. If a murderer is hanged, it's good for him. His sinful activities are reduced. It's the duty of the king to see to these things. That's one guy who'll never kill anybody else in his life, because his life comes to an end. You know, otherwise they let people out up to 20 years for good behavior. They go out and same thing again.
Indian government doesn't do this type of punishment.
Oh, they don't? Indian government, they don't wait for the courts and all of that.
They do it in public.
Yeah, you ever see them catch a thief, you know, please catch a thief somewhere in India? You don't want to be that guy.
Here in Mayapur, I was told by Ganga Babu, who has been living here for years, he reckons that some years ago, 20, 30 years ago, there was a big problem with dacoits and gundas. No more, because they've been handled very severely, including killing a few.
Yeah, yeah. India is not, doesn't go light on thieves. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What about if a person is a devotee, or is like kind of practicing beginner devotee, is cut, you know, like we just heard that he gets involved in all activities.
Loud. Yeah, devotees are not to be punished.
But the police.
The Brahmins, the Vaishnavas, women, children, they're not to be punished.
Women thieves.
Yeah, even so. Like children thieves, you know. Women are taken to be like children.
They get a beating? Or
no. No, very little.
Well, they can get chastised.
When they come home,
their father can get it.
Their father.
Their husband can get it.
Others can be okay.
Women are, you know, on one side they're not to be
held responsible.
Mm-hmm. So they're not held responsible. They're not given responsibility. They're also not held responsible. On that side, they're like children. You know, what do you expect? That's kind of the attitude.
But I think women nowadays are not like Asian women. They are more active. They know. They are not so stupid that they don't know anything. What is going on?
just unplug it.
that person from whose, just from whose, a fragment of his energy, the sun and the other planets get their power, and yes, bhavanti ati ugrate visaha, by yach chakti le shat, from a fragment of his shakti, his power, the sun is getting its powerful energy, ati ugrate visaha, it's extremely potent force. Yadang shena dhritam vishvam, that person by whose fragmental portion the entire universe is sustained. Sa Krishna, that Krishna, dashame archite, in this 10th chapter is worshipped. Now this is the opulence of the Absolute, very relishable chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Any questions?
Mm-hmm. Does it mean that super soul exists in the every atom?
Yes. He's in every atom and between all the atoms. Mm-hmm. He's everywhere.
Does it mean that the matter has consciousness?
No.
But super soul is...
Super soul is not matter. He's in, just like if you're in a house, it doesn't mean the house has consciousness.
We don't know.
Huh?
We don't know.
You don't know? You come home one day and your house is walked away. And
mm-hmm. Back to the punishment issue. So if the Vaishnavas are, I'd like to understand what Vaishnava's position is, if there is no punishment for them, and also what is the position of...
Just like the Arjun, that Ashwatthama, who wasn't exactly a Brahmin, he was Brahmabandhu, the son of a Brahmin. So he killed the sleeping sons of Draupadi, which was a heinous crime. So Krishna said, you should just kill the bastard. And Draupadi said, no, you shouldn't kill him. He's a Brahmin, and he's the son of our teacher, Dronacharya. So it went back and forth like that. Yudhisthira, I think, sided with Draupadi. No, better not to kill him. Bhima, kill him immediately. So Arjuna was in a little... was in a fix, you know, what to do. So then very judiciously, he cut off the jewel from Ashwatthama's top knot. And basically,
big insult,
just dumped them out. So in that way. But didn't kill him. In Manu Sangita, you find that for the Brahmins, they're treated differently.
Everything he smelled would smell like urine and stool.
Mm.
That's punishment, right?
Yeah, who cursed like that?
It's in Mahabharata. I just heard from Bhaktivedanta.
Yeah, who cursed him that way? I don't know. Yeah.
So we have a Department of Justice.
Krishna cursed
in our organization. Also.
Do we do? I don't know.
A minister of justice?
Oh, yeah, we do.
You don't believe in that being...
I didn't say anything, I just said... I didn't say anything about it.
How would the abuse in the organization be dealt with?
Hmm?
Abuse from one devotee?
I'm not going to get into how this organization should run itself.
We have ministry of justice, but devotee shouldn't be fun.
We'll let the jurists deal with it. I'm not going to deal with how we do things in this organization. We'll let the jurists deal with it. Yes?
In the last verse, Krishna is saying with a single fragment of myself. So, of myself means his energy, he's pervading.
Himself means himself. And fragment of himself means that he expands himself as the Karnadakshay Vishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, Kshiradakshay Vishnu. The Garbhadakshay Vishnu is in charge of the whole universe. And he's only a portion of Krishna, Ekangshena. Yeah? He has so many energies, he has so many expansions. Other portions means Balaram, Sankarshan, Vasudev, Pradumna, Aniruddha, so many. The whole material world is just one small portion of the kingdom of God. So for maintaining this world, it doesn't require his full attention. He expands one plenary portion, he does everything. And he also expands in plenary portions.
Prabhupada mentions the super soul here. Mm-hmm. He's actually the... He represents the maintainer. Aniruddha means the goodness.
Good. Aniruddha? How does Aniruddha enter the picture? Let's see precisely what's said here. How about that? It doesn't even say. Yeah, it says Paramatma. Vishwanath.
Garbhadaksha is the one who creates it, but Paramatma is the one who maintains,
yeah.
Maintains it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, entering into all things is the super soul. That the super soul is the fragment referred to here, the portion here, who maintains everything. The plenary incarnation of Krishna as super soul, within the heart of all beings, within the heart of everything. Yes?
Also, fragment shouldn't be taken as in the material sense where, you know, fragment means...
You break off a chunk, no. Krishna deputes himself. Okay. We're ready for the big show. In chapter 10, it's quite poetic and contemplative and beautiful. Chapter 11, it gets quite dramatic. Yes. You want a break, huh?
No, I don't.
Who wants a break? Pretty weak show for a break. Would you like a break?
Yeah.
Okay. Break. We'll come back after a few minutes.
Ekam Shena.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Rama Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. All right. We're beginning chapter 11, Vishwarupa Darshana. Vishwarupa Darshana, where Lord Krishna shows his universal form. Many readers of Bhagavad Gita who don't have the benefit of proper guidance tend to regard the 11th chapter as the ultimate point of realization. They think that the universal form is somehow it. And they don't get the point that this universal form is a partial manifestation, again, of Krishna's opulences. He shows how the entire cosmic manifestation is situated within him. So the real focus of the chapter is Krishna. But those who don't understand Krishna, which is most people, don't get it. They don't realize that this impressive universal form is the grand display, the grand exhibition of Krishna in terms of his material energy. They don't understand Krishna. They don't understand the transcendental nature of Krishna. They don't understand what's beyond the material existence. But they're impressed by the universal form itself without really understanding more than that. Now, therefore, we have to study Bhagavad Gita systematically under the proper guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. Then we can understand. We have to follow in the footsteps of Arjuna. Then we can understand. Otherwise, we get kind of a, you know, people read Bhagavad Gita, it's great literature, and the universal form is such a grandiose, majestic vision.
Fireworks.
Yeah, like a fireworks display. But they don't understand what it is. Yeah, kind of like people go to a fireworks display, and if they're in a foreign country, they don't know what it's about. They see a fireworks display on the 4th of July, but they don't know what the 4th of July was about because they're not Americans. So they're not, you know. If we go to some other foreign country, they have a fireworks display some other day. Great fireworks, what was it about? We have no idea what it's about, but the fireworks were great. So they don't understand that this universal form represents a partial manifestation of Krishna's opulence. Now we jump in. Arjuna Vacha. Madanugrahaya paramam guhyam adhyatma sangitam yatvayoktam vachastena mohoyam vigatamama. Krishna has, by his kindness, by his mercy, explained transcendental knowledge. He's explained Rajaguhya, the king of all confidential secrets. He's explained the science of devotional service, Adhyatma, Sangitam, confidential spiritual subjects. Yat Tvayoktam Vachastena Mohoyam Vigatomam. And by hearing, my illusion has been dispelled. My illusion is gone. We don't have to wait till the end. Already, Krishna said, Arjuna says in the 11th chapter, my illusion is now gone. That means he no longer thinks of Krishna like an ordinary human being. He acknowledges that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhavapyayo hi bhutanam shruto vistarasho maya. I've heard about the appearance and disappearance of all living beings. I've heard extensively about that in the 8th chapter. Krishna has explained, bhutva bhutva praliyate. All the living entities come out during the day of Brahma. They're all annihilated during Brahma's night. Tvatta kamala patraksha mahatmyam apichavyam. And I've heard about your inexhaustible glories. In the 10th chapter, we've heard about the vibhutis of the Lord. In the previous chapters, we've heard about the Lord as the source of everything. So, yes, aham kritsnasya jagata prabhava pralayastata. I'm the source of the appearance of... that was left out. How about that? Interesting. Okay. So Krishna's telling everything to Arjuna, and Arjuna has appreciated the glories of the Lord. Evam etad yatata tvam atmanam parameshvara drashtum ichchami te rupam aishvaram purushottama. The Lord Krishna addresses Krishna Arjuna. Arjuna addresses Krishna as Purushottam. Left out here, but he does. Purushottam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Parameshvara, the Supreme Lord. Now I want to see how you've entered into this cosmic manifestation. And Prabhupada says it so that in the future there'd be so many imposters, but people should not be fooled by cheap imitation gods. Mm-hmm. Any questions so far? Yes.
Well, at the beginning, Krishna made Arjuna forget who Krishna is.
Yes.
So, until now, he recognized who Krishna is. And he recognized that Krishna is talking to him because of the other creatures.
Because of?
Because, you know, to show.
Arjuna is asking this question for the future. He may know that also. Yes, that he's thinking that Krishna is speaking. It shouldn't only be for my benefit, but for the benefit of others also. Yes. All right. Moving ahead. Manyase yadi tach chakyam maya drashtum iti prabhu. Oh, Lord, if you think that I can see this form, Manyase yadi tach chakyam. If you think that I'm able to see this form, O Yogeshwara, supreme controller of all mystic power, Tato me tvam darshayatmanam avyayam. Please show me this unlimited universal form. It's not, when Prabhupada says, Arjuna pleads for the inconceivable grace of Krishna, he does not give Krishna orders. Krishna is not obliged to reveal himself unless one surrenders fully in Krishna consciousness and engages in devotional service. That's not possible just by mental speculation, nor by ordering, now show me your universe. But Arjuna saw it by the grace of Krishna. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Pascha me parta rupani, shatasota sahasrashaha, nana vidhani divyani, nana varna kritini cha. Pascha, just see. Pascha me parta rupani, my hundreds of thousands of varied divine and multicolored forms. Nana varna, many different colors, so many forms. And Prabhupada mentions, although it's a transcendental form, it's just manifested for the cosmic manifestation and is therefore subject to the temporary time of this material nature. This form is in relationship to the material world, and the material world is temporary. So this form is also temporary, although it's transcendental. It's described as in the Bhagavatam as being an imagination, because it demonstrates how the Lord's form is made up of the material ingredients. In fact, the Lord is transcendental to all material ingredients. Goloka eva nivasati. He's always in Goloka Vrindavan. But for the instruction of Arjuna and others, the Lord shows his form in terms of the, or shows the entire cosmic manifestation in terms of his form. That he can do. Someone asked Prabhupada, was this universal form for only this universe or for all the universes? Prabhupada said, one universe is enough for you. One universe is enough for you. Yes.
I cannot understand how he's transcendental.
Because anything in relationship to Krishna is transcendental. As soon as Krishna is there, it's transcendental. Otherwise, it's just earth, water, fire, air. These are all material things. But as soon as they're in relationship to Krishna, they have transcendental value. Just like money, as soon as it's in our temple, it's transcendental money. Although money is not at all transcendental, but actually it's transcendental because it's Krishna's energy. As soon as it's given back to Krishna and used for Krishna's service, again it becomes transcendental. Yes?
You said this is a universal form is material?
It's in terms of material energy.
So why does he need a divine eyes?
Because it has the divine, it's divinely connected.
This one I say something, Divya means celestial.
Okay, we'll see what he says. It's not possible, ordinary, I mean, you can't just look out your window and see the universal form. You can't see all of the universes and all the planets in one place, all the material manifestations of the various things that we're going to hear about in this chapter, all in one place at one time. You can't see that. Even material though it may be, you can't see that unless you're given divine vision. I don't see a gloss on Divya.
Bhaktivedanta Swami, when he gave his overview on this, he mentioned, maybe it's from Baladeva, I don't know, but he says Divya.
Could be Baladeva, it's not here in Vishnu. He doesn't say Divya. Later he says, well, we'll come to that. It comes in a couple of verses. But this is a divine form. It's not, well, Prabhupada explains it. As the material nature is manifested and not manifested, this universal form of Krishna is manifested and non-manifested. It's not eternally situated in the spiritual sky like Krishna's other forms. And sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not, because the universe is sometimes there, sometimes not. A devotee is not eager to see the universal form, but because Krishna, Arjuna wanted to see it, Krishna reveals it. It's not possible to be seen by any ordinary man. Krishna must give one the power to see it. Otherwise, who can see it? Clear? Okay. Yeah. Yes. By?
Krishna wanted him to be bewildered.
Yeah.
Right? So now, you know, he's come to his senses and, you know, he knows the Krishna.
Hmm.
So what happened? So how did that? Just by talking to Krishna, he understood who Krishna is?
Yeah, Madanu Grahaya Parama. By Krishna's mercy, he understood. By talking. It wasn't, didn't require magic, didn't require, you know, some divine touch. It didn't require a multimedia show. It didn't require anything else. It was by hearing.
Oral reception.
Yeah, by hearing. Arjuna asked some questions. Krishna spoke. And at the end, Arjuna was self-realized. Yes.
So, you know, but, you know, we have to do devotional service.
Yes. This is also devotional service, hearing. Arjuna also had to do devotional service. Sanatana said, thank you very much. Now I've heard everything. Now I'm going on vacation with Draupadi and see you later. He had to fight. He received the instruction, he understood the instruction, and he's going to follow the instruction. But the instruction itself has potency. By hearing, Arjuna became anavritti shabda. In the Vedanta Sutra it said that by sound one becomes liberated. What are we doing? We're just chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. What is it? We're just making sounds and hearing them. But the sound has potency. We're sitting here and just reading a book and hearing something, but this sound has potency. So by hearing this sound of Krishna's instructions, one can be enlightened. Sound has power. Even materially, someone, you know, says the house is on fire, you know, you suddenly get a lot of understanding real quick about something. You know that you better do something, save the people or save yourself, or, you know. Why? Sound has power. The politicians, they want to control the media. Why? Sound has power. And millions of people, you know, thinking something's true and it's not, just by sound. You know, you just say it over and over again and people start nodding their heads and saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. Weapons of mass destruction, weapons of mass destruction, weapons of mass destruction, weapons of mass destruction, weapons of mass destruction. It's pretty soon people are thinking there's weapons of mass destruction and we got to go fight. You know, got to go fight. What is it? It's just sound. In this case, the sound is a lie. But even the lie has potency. So what to speak of the truth? How much potency the truth has? The lie has the potency to bewilder, to fool people. Truth has the potency to free people from being fooled. Tremendous potency in sound, one way or the other.
Sevadis and most people. Isn't it also because they use it?
Important to us also. We don't skip the chapter. Yeah.
So don't they use the universal form to justify their theory that the form of Krishna is made of material elements?
Yeah, you see, I haven't read their commentaries, so I can't comment on their commentaries. But typically they think that this is the thing, the universal form. Maybe Krishna is a manifestation, you know, he's a lesser manifestation. The big thing is the universal form, and Krishna is just kind of like a mouthpiece for speaking Bhagavad Gita. In this way they minimize Krishna, because they're so impressed by the universal form. Wow, 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 you know, this is the big thing. Mm-hmm. But the real thing is Krishna, although he seems just like a person talking to Arjuna. He is more powerful than the universal form is. The universal form is shown by Krishna. It's a partial manifestation of Krishna's opulence. So if the universal form is great, how great Krishna is. But that people don't get. They think the universal form is great, and Krishna is just kind of the speaker of the book.
Sound and power. Srila Prabhupada, after hearing instructions of from Srila Bhaktivedanta Saraswati, it was only after 22 years that he executed the mission, and the result is huge ISKCON worldwide.
Yeah, the word has power. One word from the bona fide spiritual master. But words will never harm me. But that's not really true, is it? You know, somebody gets on the witness stand and lies their head off, and the next thing you know, somebody goes to jail or he's hanged. Words can do a lot of harm. And words can do just the opposite. Anavritti shabda. Words can do more than sticks and stones. Cause a lot more trouble.
Hitler.
Yeah, Hitler. It is by propaganda.
He's a great speaker.
Yeah, he's a powerful speaker. Mm-hmm. But his power, you know, where did it end up? Everybody got excited. They did all sorts of cruel and patriotic things. And at the end, they were ruined. That's what you get from following a powerful person of the material world and listening to their powerful sound vibrations of politics, economics, morality, whatever it is. But by hearing from Krishna, eternally different result, yes.
So the lie has the power to bewilder.
Yeah.
And the truth has the power to make the things clear.
Yeah. You know, I was bewildered until someone finally told me what, you know, someone was pulling the wool over my eyes, as they say, someone was fooling me. Then somebody said, you know what really happened? Oh, now I get it. You know, now I get it. As soon as you're told the truth, the whole thing becomes clear. This person was cheating and doing this and saying that, and the whole time, you know, it was just a lie. The sound of the truth has tremendous power. Even materially, you know, when someone tells the truth, it has power. But the absolute truth has absolute power. Okay? Therefore, our whole process is by sound. They could ignite weapons by sound. Even, you know, break glasses. Opera singers can break glasses with sound. No, so it has power. There's sound weapons. We're hearing that now that America has developed some weapons that like stun people and so on just by sound. No, sound has power.
That's one way. Sorry. That's one way of torturing people, then put them in jail and they drop just one drop of water.
Yeah, you can torture people by sound.
eventually they get crazy because they cannot fall asleep. It's always the same.
Yeah, you know, people get all so many things. We could give so many examples. I mean, we could do one of those MIHE exercises and everybody could start thinking of different ways that sound does things, you know. There's lots and lots and lots of examples in the material world of things that happen because of sound.
They put different types of music in different greenhouses and plants grow differently
or wilt, yeah.
Yeah.
Depending on their preferences.
Yeah, well, you know, rock and roll kills it.
The cows give more milk, you know, while they milk them and they listen to some.
Yeah, you know, everyone. If we hear a certain kind of sound, we feel peaceful. If we hear a certain kind of sound, we feel like climbing the walls. The sound has power. There are insect repellents that work by sound. But they used to ignite weapons by sound.
From Astra.
Nuclear weapons ignited by mantra, by sound. But the spiritual power of sound is unlimited. Okay, we'll go. Excuse me.
Rami took a blade of grass and chucked it at her.
Ram.
Huh?
Ram, no.
Sorry.
What's the story?
He just took a blade of grass. What is that crow who was pecking at Sita? Or something?
I don't know. This is Ramayana. I don't know.
This blade of grass turned into the Brahmastra.
Mm. Those knowers of Ramayana will undoubtedly know that pastime, but I'm not familiar. Okay. We'll see a little bit more. We have a few minutes more. Pasha. Again, Pasha. In several verses. Pasha, 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 Pasha. 6, 5, 6, 7, 8. Up through verse 8. It's Pasha. Just see. Pasha Dityan Vasun Rudran Ashvino Marutas Tata Bahuni Adrishta Purvani Pasha Ascharyani Bharata. Many things to see. You can see the Adityas, the Vasus, the Rudras, the Ashvins, the Maruts, all of these different kinds of demigods. Bahuni, Adrishta Purvani, many, many things that have never been seen before. Ascharyani, many wonderful things. Any questions? Iha Ekastam, Jagat Krishnam, Pasyadya, Sacharacharam. Iha Ekastam, in this one place, you can see the entire universe. Iha Ekastam Jagat Krishnam, Pasyadya, right now, Sacharacharam, with all of its moving and non-moving manifestations. Mama Dehe Gudakesha, within my body. Yatcha anyad drashtamichchasi, and whatever else you want to see, it's all here. Prabhupada comments: no one can see the entire universe while sitting in one place. But a devotee like Arjuna had the power to see past, present, and future by the mercy of Krishna. Even Brahma can't see what Krishna shows to Arjuna.
Same the universe, seeing the future from the universal form exactly means what?
You'll find out later in the chapter what it means that Arjuna's seeing the future.
Connected with time?
Huh?
Connected with time?
No, he just sees. I see all of the soldiers being killed.
Entering the mouth.
Drona, Bhishma, Karna, Jayadratha. All he sees all the soldiers on both sides being killed, rushing into the mouths of the universal form. That's the future. He knows the outcome of the battle of Kurukshetra. He sees. Everything's there, past, present, and future, within the universal form. You'll see. We're only at the beginning of the chapter. We haven't even unfolded the picture yet. But it's a long chapter also. But things will unfold. Natu mam shakyase drashtum. But you can't see me. Ananeva svachakshusha, with these present eyes. Divyam dadami te chakshu. I'm going to give you divine eyes. Pasya me yoga maishram. See my inconceivable mystic power. Then, now we come to that commentary on Divyam that you mentioned. Vishwanath says, what's the logic in giving spiritual eyes to Arjuna? Because he can't see a mere fragment of the Lord, when the same Arjuna, with his very eyes, directly realizes the sweetness of the Lord. He's seeing the ultimate manifestation, Krishna himself. So why does he need divine eyes to see the universal form? On the other hand, it can be said, the superior eye, which sees only the great sweetness of Krishna's human pastimes, like that of the pure devotee, does not at all accept the glories of the Lord's pastimes in relation to the devatas, deva-lila. One who has tasted the juice of the white lotus cannot relish sugar candy with his tongue.
Oh.
Yeah, the white lotus juice is apparently really good stuff. So once you've had that, you'll forget about the quinoa over here. So the Lord, wanting to show the majesty of his pastimes with the devas, in order to cause astonishment in Arjuna, who has requested that, gave Arjuna non-human eyes suitable for seeing the deva-lila, divyam. That will be explained, the reason, he says, will be explained at the end of the chapter. Yes?
What means deva-lila?
Deva?
Deva-lila.
Deva-lila. The Lord's pastimes with the demigods.
In the universe.
Yeah. You'll see the relation of the demigods with Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada comments on actually the same thing as here. A pure devotee does not like to see Krishna in any form except his form with two hands. A devotee must see his universal form by his grace, not with the mind but with spiritual eyes. To see the universal form, Krishna is told not to change his mind, but his vision. The universal form is not very important, that will be clear, yet because Arjuna wanted to see it, Krishna gives him the particular vision required. Huh? I really don't want to see the other form, but please show it to me. All right, I'll show it to you, but we're going to change some of the hardware. You need new eyes to see this form. Devotees who are correctly situated in a transcendental relationship with Krishna are attracted by loving features, not by a godless display of opulence. The playmates of Krishna, the friends of Krishna, the parents of Krishna, never want Krishna to show his opulences. They're so immersed in pure love that they do not even know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's stated that the boys who play with Krishna are all highly pious souls, and after many, many births, they are able to play with Krishna. Such boys do not know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They take him as a personal friend. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami recites this verse, which is, again, the second edition exclusive. And very, not found in the commentaries, by the way. Prabhupada's not following, as far as I can tell, a particular Acharya's commentary here. This is his own choice. Ittam satam brahma sukhanu bhutya dasyam gatanam padadev daivatena mayashritanam naradarakena sakam vijaru kritapunya punja. Here is the Supreme Person who is considered the impersonal Brahman by great sages, the Supreme Personality of Godhead by devotees, and a product of material nature by ordinary men. Now these boys, who have performed many, many pious activities in their past lives, are playing with that Supreme Personality of Godhead. The fact is that the devotee is not concerned with seeing the Vishwarupa, the universal form, but Arjuna wanted to see it to substantiate Krishna's statements so that in the future people could understand that Krishna not only theoretically or philosophically presented himself as the Supreme, but actually presented himself as such to Arjuna. Arjuna must confirm this because he is the beginning of the Parampara system. Those who are interested in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead and who Krishna and who follow in the footsteps of Arjuna should understand that Krishna not only theoretically presented himself as the Supreme, but actually revealed himself as the Supreme. He gave Arjuna the necessary power to see his universal form because he knew that Arjuna did not particularly want to see it, as we've already explained. Well, that really deals with the question, why Dadami, why special eyes were needed. Arjuna wasn't interested. He sees Krishna with his own divine vision. But to see this particular universal form required special vision, so Krishna gave it. Yes?
This sentence bewilders me. Devotees who are correctly situated in a transcendental relationship with Krishna are attracted by loving features, not by a godless display of opulence.
Yeah, what it's interesting that use of the term godless.
Godless, yeah.
Yeah, assuming it's not a transcription error. Godless display means, you know, all the drums beating and all the material stuff. The real display of God is in Goloka Vrindavan. So that's where Krishna is showing his real personal features. This is still, you know, we're going to see divine serpents and you know, cataclysms and all of this kind of stuff. That's really not what the devotee wants to see. He wants to see Krishna, Radharani, Krishna with the cowherd boys, Krishna and his playing his flute. Even the gopis, they didn't want to see Krishna in his feature as Dwarkadish when he came to Kurukshetra. They were disappointed. Oh, surrounded by chariots and horses and soldiers and clanging artillery and all of this. But we want Krishna in Vrindavan. But when the gopis aren't even satisfied seeing Krishna in that form as Dwarkadish, then what to speak of seeing Krishna in this universal. Certainly the gopis weren't interested in seeing going to the forest and seeing Krishna in his universal form. For them, you know, what would be the use of... Even they saw they were chasing after Krishna. Krishna disappeared. And then because Radharani was catching up, so he displayed his form as Narayan. No, gopis. He were catching up. So he, instead of running on, he just transformed himself into four-armed Narayan. So then the gopis offer their obeisances. O Lord Narayan, we offer our obeisances to you. Which way did Krishna go? They're not even interested in seeing Narayan, so what to speak of the Vishwarupa. Huh? A pure devotee is interested in Krishna's original form, as we'll find at the end of the chapter. Nityam darshana kankshan, even the demigods are eager to see this form. Yes.
Why does Prabhupada say Arjuna is the beginning of the parampara system?
Yes, because by his hearing Bhagavad Gita, the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is being revived, and he's personally showing the example of how to understand Bhagavad Gita.
It's in the beginning, like of the...
Yeah, it's not that line. All right. So today's Friday. We'll start again on Monday. All right. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila
Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveta bhakta vrinda ki jai. Gaur premanande. Huh? Till?
Anything happen tomorrow?
Well, we go till 19th or something. Well, there's a break. Then after the break, on the 1st, we start again. And then I'm here till I think it's the 19th, 18th, 19th.
Starting double classes
right yeah, there's these double classes. We get busy.
Any more?
Is it Christmas break? Is it?
Huh?
Yeah, Christmas.
Yeah, there's
Christmas class.
There's a Christmas break. We all go to Rome and offer obeisances. And chant hymns, what?
What do you mean the break, right?
You want to know why there's a break?
No, when
to offer obeisance to Jesus,
this
presented.
The 23rd from our exam to the 1st, 1 week.
I don't know, we might start double class.
Maharaj, on Monday we have only one class?
Well,
so it's same timing?
I think so. I have to look at the schedule, but as far as I know, that's what happens.
Probably on Sunday morning.
We'll look and
jump
see.
On you in the temple.
We'll look and see. Mama Day, hey, Guru Kesha. Yeah, all these things.
Who are the scientists to say that?
Krishna.
Scholars of